Green Sense Radio is brought to you by Green Sense Farms. We're changing the world with sustainable indoor vertical farming, growing more with less. Our leafy greens are sold live so they burst with flavor. Visit greensensefarms.com and watch us grow.
Welcome to Green Sense, a weekly look at the people, policies, and innovations that are changing our world. Here's Robert Colangelo.
Welcome. This is the show where good ideas must make economic and common sense to make green sense. We look for innovators that can inspire you into action. Bob Kessler, our executive producer, is going to tell you more about today's guests.
Robert, do you remember the Steve Martin bit? You know, it's impossible to stick a Cadillac in your nose. It's from one of his late 70s things. It was one of his many hilarious songs. Well, anyway, it's impossible to stick a Cadillac in your nose, as the lyric goes. It is also seemingly impossible to get a burger out of plants, right? But not so if you run Impossible Burger, so we'll find out how they do it. Robert, I think you know this already, though. The 17th largest company in the U.S. is?
Kroger.
Kroger, the grocery store company. Well, we'll find out what Kroger, huge company, what they're doing to reduce hunger in their areas.
All coming up on this edition of Green Sense. From weekend barbecues to ball games to Taco Tuesday, eating meat goes hand in hand with American life. But when we consider the environmental impact of eating meat, we might consider giving it up or at least eating less of it. Impossible Food produces meat made from plants, which does sound impossible indeed. To explain more, we're talking with Rebecca Moses, Senior Manager of Impact Strategy for Impossible Foods. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Well, explain the obvious. How can meat be made from plants?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are able to make meat from plants by virtue of the fact that we have this amazing R&D team who are committed to the mission. Obviously, we have a big environmental mission, but what they were able to do is take meat. Specifically, we started with ground beef, and kind of reverse engineer that to figure out, well, why does it taste so good? Why does it cook the way that it does? Why does it smell the way that it does? And then how can we replicate that using plants? So then they went out and found all the, you know, the best plant proteins and fats from plants to bring those together and create the same experience.
That's pretty amazing. What are the environmental benefits? We hear all the time that eating meat has impact to the environment. How are you making it better?
Oh, yeah. The environmental impacts associated with plant-based feeding and the Impossible Burger, by extension, instead of using animals for meat, it's huge. The environmental savings are really can't be overstated if you think about it at scale. So the reason for that, it's a little technical, but broken down pretty simply. Cattle especially, they're these really big drivers of the environmental impacts that livestock has. They use a ton of land because they need a lot of food to eat. They create a lot of methane, very gassy, and there's a lot of water use, especially involved in producing that feed that they eat. So by the time they eat all of that, you get a beef product on your plate, so a burger, that burger has lost 97% of the calories and the proteins that the cow itself actually consumed during its lifespan. So by going directly to the plants, we're skipping that that conversion stage of the animal, and we can just be much, much more efficient. And we've measured that. And in terms of our actual product, we're about 75% more efficient in terms of water, about 95% more efficient in terms of land use, And we use only about 13% of the GHGs associated with a burger.
Well, when it comes to food, it's all about the taste. Have you done a version of the Pepsi Challenge? Have you had people do a blind taste test? And if so, how did it fare?
Yeah, taste is very, very important when you're trying to get people to switch from a cow-based burger to a plant-based burger. And so we've done a ton of work on that. We absolutely do blind taste tests with large groups. And what we found is that we are at about parity with beef. So that means that in blind tests, consumers prefer our beef, the Impossible Burger, as much as they do that from a cow. And the great thing about that is that we can keep on getting better versus a cow, which is kind of only, you know, built to be a cow. It's, there's a finite improvement there.
What about nutritional value? How does it stack up against the real thing, beef? And I'm sure there's other things that are in beef that aren't in your burger. So talk about both of them.
In terms of nutrition, the Impossible Burger is very, very similar to beef, and that's by design. So what we tried to do at the outset of creating this product was to keep all the good things that you can from the ground beef, obviously from plants, but leave out the stuff that we didn't want or that aren't necessarily beneficial. So as a result, we have about the same level of protein, about the same level of bioavailable iron, I want to say even a little bit more, but you're looking at about the same amount of calories and about the same amount of fat as you would find in, you know, an 80-20 ground beef burger or 15% ground beef burger. And so one of the nice things we have been able to leave out is cholesterol. So we don't have to include that in the product. So we don't, which is great news for people like my dad. I'm from the Midwest, and he's a huge fan of White Castle. And he gets scolded when he eats it because of the cholesterol. But since they have Impossible sliders at all the national locations now, he can go and get the burger without hearing from us. So that was kind of a nice thing for us to be able to keep out of the burger.
Well, that's blasphemy. Vegetable burgers at White Castle, we'll get to that in a second. But my guest is Rebecca Moses. She's the Senior Manager of Impact Strategy for Impossible Foods. What about cost? How does the plant-based burger stack up to a beef burger when it comes to cost?
The Impossible Burger is at a little bit of a premium compared to a traditional burger from a cow. That said, there's all different iterations that you can put on the plate. And so there's a big balance, and there's, you know, big differences between the places where we're sold. So if you're somewhere like me in San Francisco, you know, you're looking at any burger being about $14. But then if you're somewhere in Chicago, Minneapolis, where I'm from, you see a much bigger range of how we're priced. And because we can be used in meatballs and bolognese sauce, there's all kinds of different price points that you'll see across a range. But at White Castle, I think we're about $2 a slider. So it's pretty accessible.
So in Chicago, the closest city to where Green Sense broadcasts, the Impossible Burgers are on the menu at very well-known burger places. You just mentioned White Castle, Umami Burger, Kuma's Kitchen, just to name a few. Was it hard convincing these hardcore burger slingers to sell plant-based meat?
It was not that hard to convince hardcore burger slingers to sell plant-based meat. And I think the reason for that, well, there's a few, but quality is a really big component of it. We have this terrific environmental and sustainability story, but we know that consumers buy food based on price, taste, and availability. So we talk about taste, we talk about delicious. And we were able to really build that credibility as a very new product we launched in 2016 by working and launching with really, really excellent chefs, people like David Chang and Momofuku Nishi. That's where we started. And these very well-known people like Michael Simon, who I used to watch on Iron Chef, but that helped get a certain level of credibility for the product. And that really helped pave the way for showing that it's very adaptable for these really hardcore meat-focused places, and that it will sell, and it'll sell really well.
when people celebrate, they think about meat, you know, take me out for a big steak dinner. You know, I've just won a big contract. How can you overcome the stigma of eating plant-based meat?
You know, I'm not sure that there is a stigma for eating plant-based meat. Certainly, meat from animals is definitely a celebratory thing, but because the product was designed to be very versatile, because the Impossible Burger can be used in ways that aren't just a burger, you can really have that same experience, whether you're celebrating, whatever the occasion, using the product in all kinds of different ways, whether it's meatballs, whether it's as shish kebab, I've seen it as shawarma. So we think that we can really dial into that in the same way. It's definitely something where, you know, we think it can achieve that same purpose as animal-based meats do. That said, it really helps that the product is really good and that it can really slot into that so that you do have the omnivores and the meat eaters getting excited about it.
Are you available in grocery stores?
So we're not yet available in grocery stores. We have about 5,000 restaurant customers that we work with, including these national chains that we've talked about. But we had an exciting announcement earlier, and that is that we are going to be in grocery stores. We're going to retail sometime in 2019, and that's about all I can say about it.
And where will you be featured, in the meat section or in the produce section?
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be found in the produce section when we do go to retail. I think we're looking at places like the cold case, maybe even the frozen section. We want to have as big a footprint as we can across the store, obviously. And it's going to be really great, I think, for people to be able to go and buy it and bring it home and be creative the way the chefs have been.
Well, we like to highlight new changes out there, and the food industry is really going through disruptive changes. This is one of them. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much.
That's Rebecca Moses, Senior Manager of Impact Strategy for Impossible Foods, telling us about their meat made from plants. I'm Robert Colangelo. You're listening to Green Sense. Subscribe to our podcast at greensensefarms.com.
Green Sense Radio is brought to you by Green Sense Farms. We're changing the world with sustainable indoor vertical farming, growing more with less. Our leafy greens are sold live so they burst with flavor. Visit greensensefarms.com and watch us grow. Thank you.
There have been numerous changes in the food retail business in the last few years, and far more ways to go grocery shopping than you ever had before. The grocery store chain Kroger, which is the second largest general retailer in the country, has also been putting some of its focus on helping people in need with some innovative programs of its own. We're joined by Eric Halverson, Manager of Corporate Affairs for the Kroger Company. Eric, welcome to Green Sense.
Well, thank you very much. It's an honor to be here, and I don't want to overstate my position with Kroger. I'm the Manager of Corporate Affairs for the Central Division, so there are some bigger shots up the food chain in Cincinnati, but I'm happy to have the opportunity to represent them today.
Eric, explain the basic model for the Kroger Zero Hunger, Zero Waste plan.
Well, it's a pretty ambitious plan, and we acknowledge that right up front. Our CEO, Rodney McMullen, called this our moonshot because we're saying we want to eliminate hunger in Kroger communities by 2025. So there are people out there who are saying, how is that possible? And we say, well, that's the only realistic option for something like this. We can't really say, well, we're going to let a few people be hungry out there if we're going to at least eliminate hunger for some. So our goal is to eliminate hunger entirely wherever you find a Kroger store or a member of the Kroger family.
Eric, that's 6 years away. That's a daunting task. How will you accomplish it?
Well, this is it is definitely a challenge. One of the things we're doing is, I think it's safe to say, we're realigning our philanthropic mission a little bit. We've had a very broad array of programs that we have served and funded. Now we are focusing more on food banks and food pantries and promoting different ways that we can put food on the table. We say meals matter at Kroger, and this is a way that we are trying to say we're going to focus here and direct even more of our resources to put food on the table for the people who need it.
Are you going to allow people to come in the stores that are underprivileged to get free food?
Well, that's where the food banks and food pantries come in, because we are diverting food that maybe it's too close to the point where we can sell it. So we have food banks and food pantries who routinely come into our stores to pick up products, and then they provide them to their customers. We have food banks in my division, Fort Wayne, Bloomington, Indiana, South Bend, Indianapolis. We are all over central Indiana and over into Illinois, and we have food bank partners in every place who are doing exactly that, who are connecting the needy to the people who, or to the food that we have available for them.
Well, as a farmer, one thing I can see is just how much food waste there is along the whole supply chain, from the farm, you know, to distribution, to the store, you know, to the consumer. So how is eliminating food waste going to help feed more people?
Well, that's another part of the challenge where I think we say there are elements of this whole discussion where we would say we don't have all the answers yet. So we might look to somebody like you and your Green Sense audience. We might look to other people. We have an innovation plan built into the Zero Hunger, Zero Waste program where we are inviting people to come to us with ideas, and we have up to $10 million available to share with people who come to us with ideas that we see as useful and efficient ways of trying to get more food out there. Because you probably know this better than I do, as we look at the amount of waste out there, 72 billion pounds of food winds up in landfills every year. And if we say one of every eight Americans goes hungry, we just have to find a way to end that kind of a cycle and see that the food winds up on the table instead of in the dump.
My guest is Eric Halverson, Central Manager of Corporate Affairs for the Kroger Company, and we're talking about their plan to eliminate hunger by 2025. Kroger has a digester at KB Specialty Foods in Greenbirds in Indiana. Yes, it's turning waste at the plant into biogas and then putting it to good use. What kind of waste goes into it, and what does the fuel get used for?
Yeah, KB Specialty Foods is a place. This is one of the terms I've learned since joining Kroger. I'm still relatively new to the company by Kroger standards. I've been here 2 years, and they have a term called wet salads. So it's potato salads and coleslaw, things like that, are made at KB Specialty Foods. They make cake icing. It's a fascinating array of products. And some of the food that's maybe, say, the potato salad, the skins from the potatoes might wind up as waste, and then it goes out into the wastewater treatment plant. There is the gas that comes up from that is the biogas that we collect. There's a dome over this new digester that replaced the old treatment plant that was just not efficient for modern needs anymore. So the dome catches the gas. The gas is then redirected back to the plant and burned to provide power at the KB Specialty Foods plant. So we're creating a cycle that we're using our own energy. We have renewable energy then powering most, if not all, of the plant. So that's one option that we're doing here. And we have a similar, I think a bigger option out in Compton, California, doing essentially the same thing.
Well, I learned two things from you just now. I never knew what a wet salad was, so that was new. And this digester sounds pretty interesting. Are there other energy and sustainability ideas that Kroger is employing?
Well, if we look, I think you were doing recently did a segment on Teslas and cars. And one of the options we've been studying, I don't know how realistic it is. I'd need to do a little more homework. But there was a point, at least, where Kroger was looking at the possibility of adding Tesla semis as the tractor trailers that pull our delivery vehicles around the country. We have 3,200 tractors and 12,000 trailers. We put in 8,600 deliveries every day, and that works out to 369 million miles of driving, so the equivalent of 14,000 times around the world. So when you're driving that much, you're very sensitive to fuel economy. So we have been studying the Tesla model, but if that's not realistic, then we are moving toward newer vehicles that are more fuel efficient with diesel fuel or compressed natural gas or liquefied natural gas. There are also in our stores trying to be more sensitive to energy needs in our stores, shifting to LED lights, for example. We're doing as much as we can to design energy efficiency into the buildings that we've been able to, over the last couple years, save enough electricity to power more than 119,000 homes for a year. So what we're doing in our stores and what we're doing with our trucks is trying to reduce our carbon footprint and make less of a dent in the environment, and doing more to be sustainable in a number of ways.
Well, you let us know if you get those Tesla semi trucks, because we did a story on those and we think that's a great idea. And, hopefully it's going to have some real impact on your operation.
Yeah, I love, and just looking at them, they're just such an intriguing design that I'd like to see how the idea, how the concept develops.
Eric, with grocery stores under assault from online shipments of dry goods direct to the consumer and store footprint shrinking and sales declining, what motivates Kroger to do the Zero Hunger, Zero Waste plan and to initiate all these sustainable ideas?
It probably comes down to something as simple as it's the right thing to do. We care about our communities. We want to reduce our impact on the environment by reducing waste in our operations and using our natural resources more wisely, because we want to, I think with the Zero Hunger, Zero Waste plan, we're saying we want to make lives better for the families who are here now and protect the planet for the generations that follow ours. So all of that just represents, I think, a commitment that represents the Kroger that I think if people just look at us as a grocery store, they're sometimes missing the broader picture of what Kroger is and what it represents, because we've had just a couple of months ago, we were acknowledged as by Fortune magazine as one of the companies in the Change the World 2018 list. They're looking at zero hunger, zero waste as a sign of we at Kroger and what a number of other companies are doing to solve society's problems. So if we can prove to our customers and the world around us that we're committed to our communities, then we trust that people will recognize that this is the kind of a store where they would want to shop.
Well, that's a good mission, and we appreciate you sharing that here on GreenSense.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
That's Eric Halverson, Manager of Central Corporate Affairs for the Kroger Company. I'm Robert Colangelo, and this is GreenSense. We hope you've enjoyed the show and have stimulated you to think about sustainability differently. Bob, who's joining us next week with their provocative ideas and stimulating innovations? Visit GreenSenseFarms.com to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Thanks for listening to this edition of GreenSense. Stay fresh, keep innovating, because when you're green, you grow.
GreenSense Radio is brought to you by GreenSense Farms. We're changing the world with sustainable indoor vertical farming, growing more with less. Our leafy greens are sold live, so they burst with flavor. Visit GreenSenseFarms.com and watch us grow.
GreenSense is recorded in the Duneland ecosystem on the eastern shores of Lake Michigan. The program is copyright GreenSense Farms, all rights reserved.